College women's basketball last night. Lauren Mansfield, a senior, scored a season-high 15 points, 9 of which were from three-point land, in Iowa State's 62-54 victory over Iowa last night. Four Cyclones scored in double figures for the second time this season in the annual Iowa Corn Cyhawk Series rivalry. Iowa State improves to 5-2, while the Hawkeyes fall to 5-4 on the season. Mansfield caused a momentum shift in the first half after drawing a charge with just 52 seconds remaining. That ignited the Cyclone crowd and her teammates as Iowa State went on to force a Hawkeye turnover and responded with a three by Cyclone guard Nikki Moody 4 seconds before the half. Moody's three-pointer brought the Cyclones within three, but it was forward Hallie Christofferson's basket with just a half second to play that put the Cyclones down by just 1 point heading into the locker room. Christofferson went up strong after receiving a pass from Moody on an inbounds play and converted from the charity stripe after drawing the foul. Freshman Bryn Williamson and Moody each contributed solid performances for Iowa State. Moody finished with 13 points, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. She also converted 4 crucial free throws in the final 2 minutes of the game as the Hawkeyes tried to rally. Williamson had 11 points for Iowa State and finished 3 for 6 from outside the arc. As a team, the Cyclones were dramatically better in the second half as Iowa State shot 41.7% beyond the arc, compared to just 18.2 in the first half. Iowa State also forced 22 Hawkeye turnovers, the second most that Iowa's committed this season. Despite an early exit from the game due to a knee injury, which isn't considered to be serious with 3 minutes left, Chelsea Poppin scored 10 points, grabbed 9 rebounds, and drew 3 charges for the Cyclones. In the first half alone, the Cyclone forward posted 6 points and 5 boards. It's the fifth time that Poppins has scored 10 or more points this year. Iowa was led by center Morgan Johnson's 16 points as Johnson converted on 5 of 10 from the free throw line and grabbed 7 rebounds for the Hawkeyes. Melissa Dixon chipped in with 11 points for Iowa. With the win, Iowa State leads the Iowa Corn Cyhawks series by a score of 11-4, however it is they figure that out. In men's top 25 college basketball last night, the Florida Gators earned their first victory that would impress the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee next March as Patrick Young scored a career-high 25 points. Irving Walker made huge free throws down the stretch, and the 12th-ranked Gators rallied to beat Arizona 78-72 in overtime. Walker finished with 14 points, including 7 in the overtime. The 6-2 Gators extended their home winning streak to 11 as they won their first resume-building game of the season. They previously lost at Ohio State and Syracuse. In other top 25 action, freshman Austin Rivers had 17 points, helping number 7 Duke beat Colorado State 87-64. Chris Smith matched his personal best with 19 points to reach 1,000 points for his career as number 5 Louisville beat IUPUI 90-60. 8th-ranked Xavier opened a big first-half lead and then won at Butler 73-61. Jordan Taylor had 15 points and 10 assists to lead number 14 Wisconsin to a 70-42 win over Wisconsin Green Bay. Chris Johnson scored 20 points, and Dayton closed with a 17-9 run to knock off number 16 Alabama 74-62. Number 22 Texas A&M walloped Sam Houston State 64-37, and number 24 Illinois improved to 9-0 as they beat St. Bonaventure in a low-scoring tilt 48-43. NBA players have agreed to additional drug testing, adding off-season screening for performance-enhancing drugs only. Union Executive Director Billy Hunter sent a memo obtained by the Associated Press to the players detailing these and other changes of a new labor deal recommended that they ratify the agreement as well. Beginning in the 2012-13 season, players can be tested up to 2 times during the off-season for steroids and performance-enhancing drugs only. They would not be screened for drugs like marijuana. A Boston College linebacker, Luke Kuechly, has won the Lombardi Award as the nation's top collegiate lineman. Kuechly leads the nation with 191 tackles this season. He beat out Alabama linebackers Courtney Upshaw and Dante Hightower and Stanford offensive tackle Jonathan Martin for that award. Western Kentucky and Willie Taggart have agreed to a new 4-year contract that more than doubles the head coach's base salary to $475,000. Taggart guided Western Kentucky to a 7-5 record in his second year. It was the Hilltoppers' best season in its 3-year history in the Football Bowl subdivision. Southern Mississippi coach Larry Fedora has accepted an offer to become North Carolina's next football coach. Fedora has guided the 22nd-ranked Golden Eagles to a school record 11 wins and the Conference USA title this season. He's 33-19 in 4 seasons at the school. The Tar Heels have been looking for a permanent replacement for Butch Davis, who was fired shortly before training camp amid an NCAA investigation. The ACC school promoted defensive coordinator Everett Withers to interim coach, and he led the team to a 7-5 season after a 5-1 start. Southern Miss faces Nevada in the Hawaii Bowl on December 24th, while North Carolina plays Missouri in the Independence Bowl 2 days later. It's not clear who will coach the team for those postseason games. Iowa State football coach Paul Rhodes says the Cyclones will leave for New York City on Christmas Day. Rhodes and Rutgers coach Greg Schiano appeared at a news conference at Yankee Stadium Wednesday morning as a lead-up to their meeting in the December 30th Pinstripe Bowl. It'll be the first meeting between those two schools.
We are thrilled to be representing Iowa State University in one of the greatest sports venues there is, in the greatest city there is, in one of the most exciting times of the year. A big thank you to New Era and the New York Yankees for this prestigious invitation to this fantastic bowl game.
Rhodes says it will be an exciting way for the Cyclones to close the season.
It's been a season of firsts for Iowa State University. We set the record for season ticket sales. We went over 50,000 in attendance in all six of our home football games. We are thrilled to bring that loyal fan base to New York City. And we are thrilled to bring our football team here. And I can promise you this, we will give you everything we have in this ball game on December 30th.
Rhodes coached against Rutgers 7 times when he was an assistant coach at Pitt.
They were hard-fought, well-played football games. Both of us believe in defense. Both of us believe in the run game. You're going to see two smart football teams on the field, just like all those contests were. Kids that are fundamental, kids that believe in techniques. Will be an exciting football game for everybody in the stadium and everybody watching on TV on December 30th.
It'll be Rutgers' second game in Yankee Stadium this season. They defeated Army last month.
And we did have the opportunity to play here not too long ago, and it was incredible. Before the game, it was a bowl game atmosphere. Our kids were out there with their cell phones taking pictures, and I know they're incredibly excited about returning to Yankee Stadium and spending a week in New York City between, you know, Christmas and New Year's. It's going to be a great, great opportunity.
That's Rutgers coach Greg Schiano, who says that Rutgers hope to make a good showing.
You know, all our family, all our friends, everybody is in this area. And we really want to make New Jersey and Rutgers University proud. I know Coach Rhodes for a long time. He's an excellent coach. He runs a great program. It's going to be a tremendous football game. Two teams that are going to play the game the right way, clean, hard football. I think two teams that will represent the Yankees and New Era the way you'd want.
Schiano says it'll be a chance for them to stay home for the holidays. Rutgers was 8-4 at the end of the regular season. Iowa State takes a 6-6 mark into that contest. The UNI football team's next playoff game will be before a national television audience on Friday, and that's more than okay with Panther coach Mark Farley. UNI is the 5th seed in the FCS playoffs, and they travel to a quarterfinal round matchup against 4th seed Montana Friday. That's a game that'll be seen on ESPN, and Farley says that kind of exposure doesn't come around very often.
Every sports bar in the country will have that football game. That's the only football game that'll be on. So for our university and for our program, we can't simulate that. We can't do that. So that's why this is such a great opportunity, not only for our players, but for us to demonstrate, you know, about the University of Northern Iowa and put our team on the field. So it's a neat deal for everybody.
Well, the game was originally set to be played on Saturday, but it was moved up to Friday night to accommodate the television audience. Farley says that he doesn't expect the change in the schedule to have much of an impact on his team's preparation.
I don't think it's going to matter. Our prep will be different now. It's got to be pushed up by a day, and we're the travel team, so it makes it a little bit more difficult. But at the same time, it's Friday night, it's ESPN, it's, you know, you're at this stage of the game, I think it goes with the territory. We're just excited to get lined up and to have the opportunity.
Montana coach Robin Flugrad says the Grizzlies will be challenged by an outstanding UNI team.
I think more than that, it's an outstanding program. They've been in the playoffs so many times, and Coach Farley's done a great job each and every year he's been there. You know, he won the Eddie Robinson Award a few years ago, and he's been up for it, seems like, every year. So credit him and credit his assistant coaches and really the entire program.
Flugrad says the Panthers play a physical style of defense.
Kind of reminds me of what I would envision Coach Farley to be like. You know, he was a great defensive player there when he was in college, and I think he's carried it over every year. Great, outstanding defense.
Well, Flugrad says the Montana defense will need to do a good job of tackling UNI quarterback Terrell Rennie.
You know, it's a scary part of their offense, the amount of, you know, tackles he breaks and in the open field. And the offensive style is to get him in the open field. They've done a great job utilizing his resources.
Friday's game will kick off at 7 o'clock Iowa time. It'll be the fifth meeting between UNI and Montana, as the Grizzlies have won each of the previous four games, including two playoff victories. On NFL news, with starter Matt Schaub and number two Matt Leinart done for the season, the Texans have signed 41-year-old Jeff Garcia to serve as their third quarterback. Houston inked Jake Delhomme last week to back up rookie T.J. Yates, who completed 12 of 25 passes for 188 yards and a touchdown in last week's 17-10 win over Atlanta. The 9-3 Texans play at 7-5 Cincinnati this weekend, and they can clinch the AFC South with a victory and a Tennessee loss. Houston also signed punter Matt Turk, who played for them from 2007 to 2010. The 43-year-old Turk replaces Brett Hartman, who was placed on injured reserve after tearing a left knee ligament on Sunday. Turk was cut by Jacksonville in October. In other pro football news, Mike Martz plans to return as the Chicago Bears offensive coordinator next season. He dismissed a report that he'll be gone after the season, saying he intends to be back. Tampa Bay quarterback Josh Freeman says his injured throwing shoulder is improving, and he hopes to be able to play Sunday against Jacksonville. Freeman missed his last start, ending a stretch of 36 consecutive starts. Packers cornerback Charles Woodson has returned to practice on a limited basis. The veteran DB sustained a concussion in Sunday's win over the Giants. Coach Mike McCarthy says Woodson's limited participation is part of the protocol a player must complete before returning to action. Green Bay has signed quarterback Graham Harrell to the active roster from the practice squad, and they placed tight end Andrew Corliss on injured reserve. Corliss hurt his right knee in Sunday's win over the Giants. San Diego has placed defensive end Luis Castillo on injured reserve and signed linebacker Nate Triplett to a two-year contract. Castillo broke his left leg in the season opener. The New York Giants have placed offensive tackle Stacy Andrews on season-ending injured reserve. He's got blood clots in both lungs. They signed Tony Hugo to fill that roster spot. The Bengals have placed Pat Sims on injured reserve, learning the defensive tackle's left ankle is more severely hurt than initially thought. Cincinnati signed defensive tackle Nick Hayden to take his spot. Green Bay Packers linebacker Eric Walden has been charged with misdemeanor disorderly conduct, domestic abuse. Walden's attorney entered a not guilty plea on his behalf, and he remains free on bond and is due back in court on December 27th. Well, the Big East has officially announced that five new schools are joining the conference in 2013, giving the league what Commissioner John Marinato calls the largest footprint in all of college sports. Boise State and San Diego State are being added as football-only members, and Houston, Central Florida, and SMU will come on board for all sports. Depleted by the planned departures of Syracuse, Pittsburgh, and West Virginia, the Big East is trying to rebuild as a 12-team football conference with a Western division. They've also been pursuing Air Force and Navy as football-only members, but those schools have yet to commit. In the National Hockey League last night, it was Washington over Ottawa 5-3, Philadelphia an overtime winner over Buffalo 5-4, also Carolina topping Edmonton by a final of 5-3. The Miami Marlins continue their spending spree at baseball's winter meetings. Just hours after officially introducing high-priced free agent shortstop Jose Reyes, manager Ozzie Guillen revealed that the Fish have reached a deal with free agent pitcher Mark Burley. The 32-year-old left-handed pitcher for Guillen last season with the White Sox, he went 13-9 with a .359 earned run average. The Marlins have increased their player payroll by $191 million this week. Super agent Scott Boras summed up the feeling around baseball when he said the minnows have become Marlins. The Marlins signed free agent closer Heath Bell last week and are trying to pry three-time MVP Albert Pujols away from the Cardinals. Both teams have reportedly offered contracts worth $200 million or more over 10 years. The LA Angels are also believed to be bidding for Pujols' services. David Ortiz is staying with the Boston Red Sox, agreeing to the team's offer of salary arbitration. The 36-year-old designated hitter has been with Boston since 2003. He hit .309 last season with 29 homers and 96 RBIs, making $12.65 million in the option year of a contract that paid him over $63 million over five seasons. The Mets have agreed to trade center fielder Angel Pagan to the San Francisco Giants for outfielder Andres Torres and pitcher Ramon Ramirez. The club also reached agreements with free agent relievers Frank Francisco and John Roush. Francisco gets a $12 million two-year contract, while Roush has a one-year deal worth $3.5 million with an additional half million in performance bonuses. The Rockies have sent closer Houston Street and Cash to the Padres for a player to be named in Cash. The 28-year-old right-hander had 29 saves in 33 chances for Colorado this year. He was 1-4 with a 3.86 earned run average in 62 games. Street has 178 saves in 7 seasons with Colorado and the Oakland Athletics. The Pittsburgh Pirates have signed free agent catcher Jose Morales. The switch hitter batted .267 for Colorado last season. He broke his right thumb June 15th and was done for the season. The 28-year-old Morales is a career .289 hitter in 96 games with the Twins and the Rockies. Also, the Twins finalized their $4.75 million one-year contract with Matt Capps after the closer passed a physical. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.